This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling, episode 201. I'm Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee. He's Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm. Jonathan Huda on assignment, but again, always catch him. Sirius XM every single Sunday. When I'm driving up to Green Bay for the stuff I have to do for ESPN Milwaukee, Jay Hood usually keeps me company Sirius XM's Pro Wrestling Nation, Sunday from 9 a.m. until noon Eastern time. But we've got a lot of things to dive into here today, Brian. We, of course, had our premium live event and pay-per-view weekend with AEW and WWE. A lot of things to dive into. So why don't we start here? We'll start with WWE and WrestlePalooza, at least how Cody Rhodes was trying to get
right.
ESPN. It started with Brock Lesnar versus John Cena, which we've always made the joke here, and I made the joke once we found out after we recorded last week that John Cena and Brock Lesnar were kicking off the event. Typically, that means Lesnar's losing.
Yep. Gotta go. Right, sorry. Lesnar, thanks, guys.
Lesnar loses, and he's got a piece out of whatever town they happen to be in. That was not the case. As Brock Lesnar squashed John Cena, the subsequent reporting around it since then has been this is the only match scheduled between the two, which just doesn't make any sense to me, but here we are. And it leads us to this question, because there's only a handful of dates left of John Cena's farewell tour. Has this farewell tour for John Cena been a success?
It's hard to not say no. I mean, like you mentioned, there's no other Brock follow-up plan. 5 dates remaining, October 11th, Crown Jewel in Australia, which will be against AJ Styles.
AJ Styles.
Which we found out through social media because Cena was tweeting on it. November 10th, Raw in Boston. November 17th, Raw at MSG. November 29th, Survivor Series. Then December 13th, Saturday Night's Main Event in DC. There's nothing that's come out of this yet where it's like, oh, this is bettering the WWE for the future. To me, that is how you make this a success. And the last few years, we've seen a lot of Cena losing to where beating him doesn't matter as much. But maybe we get a young guy going over on the way out, a Dom, a Braun, things like that. But beating John Cena doesn't even feel special anymore. Like, Brock squashing him, and then there's no follow-up. It's just like, well, why did we do that? So it hasn't been a success. Cena seems a little frustrated right now. It all might be in character, but, like, posting the I'm the captain now and all that stuff, like, I don't even know if John Cena would call this a success right now.
Well, no, and of course, I don't think anybody's going to call it a success because – I mean, after WrestleMania, like, they were pointing fingers at each other, right? Yeah. Like Cena was like, hey, I just do what I'm told. And Triple H was like, well, he actually has a big say in how this whole thing is going. Like, everybody wanted to point fingers at each other. So I think everybody knows it's not going the way they want it to go. I have enjoyed some of the ideas, but we haven't seen it fully in concept. Like, a Cena heel turn, like, I thought was a lot of fun. But again, right. He was left on an island and... Again, then you get Rock involved and him politicking his way and more fingers being pointed with why this didn't go the way they wanted it to go. And maybe some stuff fell apart. But the one thing I am realizing through this whole thing, it is just so incredibly hard to book a retirement tour
sure.
in professional wrestling that everybody's going to be happy with, right? Because now, after what we saw last night on Dynamite, there are so many fans who are trying to now fantasy book Edge being the final opponent because Adam Copeland said, hey, I got to go. I don't know if I'm going to be back. Like, oh, yeah, clearly he's going to WWE as if Tony Khan would ever let that happen.
Right.
You know, but fans want to fantasy book that because this thing has not gone the way we've wanted. You know, I think we've gotten some good individual matches like him becoming babyface again and getting what we got at SummerSlam with him and Cody Rhodes. I thought was a lot of fun. I thought that was pretty good. What we got with him and Logan Paul, I thought was pretty good. And I was hoping that that was going to kind of build some momentum for the fly. And then the momentum was just squashed. Like, and now it's like, what the hell are we doing? Like, because then the other reports, Brian, are, again, conflicting reports. One had, and again, I don't know what's true, what's not true. But, you know, I saw something that the plans were for Cena to win as of Saturday morning of WrestlePalooza. Obviously, that didn't happen. And then I saw a report. I don't know if this was Meltzer or whoever saying it, but that Cena wants to put people over on his way out. Like, we don't need to put over Brock Lesnar. Like, right, Lesnar's like, already over. Like, Brock is already Brock. Like, what is, you know, that'd be like Shawn Michaels saying, yeah, I want to put Undertaker on, you know, over on my way out. Like,
what a guy.
Sure, but that's just not how any of this works.
Yeah, and even there's been little fun stuff recently, like the callback stuff, like doing the match with Sammy, doing the other guy's moves in the matches, where I know the reports are now, which feels like, you know, damage control of, oh, no, Cena and AJ, that was always planned. He did that Styles Clash in one of those matches because he knew he wasn't going to have an AJ Styles match. He's doing the yep. Edge spear because he knows he's not going to face Edge. This was thrown together. I think Cena's frustrated by it. And if he's losing every match, then he's not putting anyone over. Like, if everything is a Cena loss, then nothing's a big deal. And that's my biggest issue right now.
Well, and that's, again, we already lived through that in right. the 1,000-day losing streak or whatever that he had, you know, when he was trying to put over Austin. Well,
yeah.
I mean, he also buried Austin Theory.
Yeah, right.
The promo he told was the truth. But I mean, but they didn't do that against Solo. And then Solo won.
Right.
But it didn't really give him the rub that I think everybody was expecting, right? So it's about what you do with it. And again, we saw this with Kurt Angle. It was really hard for them to book that. Maybe it's just easier when you can try to keep the mystery. And again, I go back to Shawn Michaels, who I think Ric Flair's retirement run was fun because, hey, next time you lose, that's it.
Right.
You know, and then you get the, I love you. I'm sorry. I love you from HBK. And then, well, Rick doesn't actually retire.
What?
But that was good in the moment.
Right.
And Undertaker making Shawn Michaels put his career on the line when we as fans weren't sure if that was because HBK, as evidenced by the match, was still putting out high quality stuff at that time. So it's like, oh, okay, this is actually intriguing. Is Shawn actually retiring? And obviously he did. And now he pretends that he didn't come out of retirement for the Saudi money, apparently, with some of the different interviews he's done. But I think it's just really hard to do when we know that this is it. Like, how do you balance nostalgia? How do you balance the current product? I think it's something that's really hard to do. So I'm almost, again, everybody just wants to be critical of Triple H nowadays. Right. And I've got plenty of things to be critical about. This has not been a success. But I also think the degree of difficulty is just incredibly high to pull off, where I feel like everybody's going to walk away satisfied.
Yeah, but I'm thinking through like some of the missteps. Like, if he turns heel, is the champion, Dwayne's still involved. If this entire year is him as a champion and being Super Cena, that Saturday night's main event becomes that much more special, where it's like, we know it's the last one, but he's like, no, I'm walking out with the title. Yes, we've seen that play out. And then a Braun Breaker, then a Dom Mysterio. Someone beats him. That becomes a moment. Now, like that last night, I don't even know if he needs to lose at this point. Like, I feel like at this point, you almost have him win. Like, that's the unexpected part. Like, let him go out that way. I've seen, I believe Lance Storm threw it out, like, do a gauntlet. Like, do the open challenge and just guy after guy and the entire night is that, where multiple people get a chance to step in the ring with Cena. You get Noba Femi in there and whatnot. Like, that would be fun at this point because the wins and losses and the WWE product, they don't even seem to matter that much anymore.
No. And again, because we've seen so many people go over Cena and it not really work.
Right.
And again, when I go back to Kurt Angle retiring and how much of a bit just like falling flat on his face they did there of putting over Baron Corbin. And that didn't really work for Baron, you know, who's no longer with the company and rightfully upset that he wasn't even in some sort of montage for the NXT homecoming a couple of weeks ago. So it's a really hard thing to pull off. And again, there's plenty of blame to go around. But I think if Rock was around, that would have gone different. But now the disappointing thing here is, I feel like you had a chance over these last 2 or 3 months that he has left to really build up something. And if he truly wanted to put someone over, he needs to beat Brock. Because now, Brock, who knows when Brock squashing him does nothing. Because it's not like Brock's going to come back and challenge the winner of whoever wins whatever championship they're calling it at Crown Jewel. I even forget the name of it now. I can't believe we're running that thing back. But it's not like he's coming back and challenging the winner of that, whether it's Seth or Cody or whatever. Like, I don't even know what purpose that served other than to be, was that the shocking moment that Triple H was trying to sell everybody on? Because if it was, it was more disappointing than anything.
I feel like Stephanie was, and it's them patting themselves on the back. And she did seem legit shocked by it. But like, and I saw someone point on Twitter, Logan Paul and Seth Rollins are the only guys Cena has faced during this run that are under the age of 40. So that's a WWE problem in itself. We've talked about how old this roster is, especially top heavy. Would you have been okay if it was a Super Cena year? where if we only saw him lose once over this year, would you have been okay with that?
Yeah, again, if it's worth it at the end, he puts somebody over. Like, even honestly, even if it's just putting Cody back over,
right,
and reestablishing him, like, that to me is even more worth it, because it's just, okay, reestablishing Cody and Cody chasing. And I mean, that was disappointing too on Saturday, right, too, Lord. And especially once you heard the stories of both Cody and Drew, like, hey, what if Cody eats the pin here and then he chases Drew? Nah, how about we have a super short match?
Yeah, like... And that's the thing, like, that show, yes, there's issues with the booking. It's more glaring when that's your offensive approach. You're on the offense saying, oh yeah, we're going to outbook this other show that's also on, that is going simultaneously at the start and the main event. It's like, oh, this is a lot worse. Like, I left Saturday being like, man, WWE is a tough watch. Like, All Out, which wasn't even an A+ AEW pay-per-view. It was a good pay-per-view, because all AEW shows are, but it's still like, oh, that's what I enjoy. That 3 o'clock to 7:30, 8 o'clock Eastern, like, that is what I enjoy. And then you watch Cena Brock, it's like, that's not necessary.
No. And again, like, the middle part was fun, right? Yeah. Like, EO versus Stephanie Vaquer was great. Can someone explain Stephanie Vaquer to me?
Yeah. I don't have that issue in the women's division. Like, they just put women out there, they're good wrestlers, like, we don't need to figure out a story.
Even though they're like the storyline company, right? Like,
right.
Other than the move that she has that drives Booker T wild, I mean, what am I supposed to be invested in?
100% agree. And like, I think that move almost hinders her character, because like, it becomes that thing, and it's a WWE crutch where it's like, oh, she's going to do it, and Booker T's going to make noise, and McAfee's going to do it, and whoever's on commentary. Like, we've talked about it with Raquel back when she was like, remember face Liv Morgan as a champion. It's like,
yeah,
what's like, her story here?
Well, again, and we've asked this question about Lyra. It seems like, and even again, you go way back in the day with like Becky. Oh, she's just like talking about quinoa and making quinoa jokes backstage. Like, what are we doing? Like, it just seems, I don't know why it's a women's division. Because here's the thing, like, Stephanie Vaquer is fantastic in the ring.
Yeah.
She is great. I want to care about her. I just don't know why I should care about her. Which is why I just assumed that Io was going to go over, because Io's fantastic in the ring, has given me reasons to care about her. Her character's over. She's involved in a lot of storylines. And Stephanie Vaquer is just like almost disappeared off of television leading up to this match.
Oh, and so, I almost feel like now, like a month from now, we're going to look at each other like, who's the women's champ again on Raw? Because like, there's so much being put into the Io and the Rhea and the Asuka stuff. They're going to tell that story and they're going to forget they have a champion also. And she's just going to be off TV like she's been.
Yeah. So even though that match was fantastic and one of my favorites of the weekend, like, okay, what are we going to do with it? Obviously, the mixed tag was the mixed tag was exactly what it needed to be.
Right.
Like, it was fun. It was dumb at times, but it was still like you got to showcase everybody and their talents at different times. Like, that was a lot of fun. So the middle parts were great.
Like, it didn't matter what was going to happen in that match. AJ Lee's in a ring in 2025. Like, that was the takeaway.
And I think it was a lot of fun. Again, it was just the beginning and end that just leave me questioning what the hell we're doing here.
Yeah.
When it comes to that. And I guess maybe because they decided to do that because they want to go down to Australia and do the Crown Jewel Championship or whatever, which I don't even know how they got back, because I thought they left that with the Saudi Prince last year. Maybe I'm wrong. But they want to do Cody versus Seth down there. What's more compelling at this, Cody versus Seth or Seth versus Drew McIntyre?
Right. Like Drew deserves a win. Like, Drew deserves, like, you keep having him lose and it's like, well, what's the point of Drew? Like, we saw it early in the day Saturday. Mark Briscoe winning was a big deal because of all the losses. Like, oh, look at him beating MJF. Like, doesn't hurt MJF. And now you're able to elevate Mark Briscoe.
Well, and it doesn't hurt MJF. And it actually, the backstage promo that they showed last night, like, adds to a depth of MJF's character of trying to get back to where he was a couple of years ago. It just adds, it's somehow, again, there are a couple of stories that's worth hanging on to in WWE, but AEW is catching him in the storytelling department.
100%. And that it's completely flipped. If Drew is the champion, Cody is chasing, if there's the Orton involvement, whether it had been an accidental costing him or a heel turn, like, there's a great main event story. And instead it's like, hey, you have a belt, I have a belt. Wake up at 8 a.m. Eastern and watch us fight for an imaginary belt. All right.
Well, because, yeah, I mean, they're not carrying it around. I guess if Seth wins, maybe they have Heyman carry it around. I don't know. I guess that's at least a possibility.
Sure.
But it's just... So when, as far as Cena, we have five dates left, and we know one of them down in Australia.
Yep.
With four dates left, and the last one being in the middle of December, it's not like he's around to build these stories. So are they just a bunch of one-off matches that they're announcing on social media?
That's the thing. So one of the four after October 11th Survivor Series is War Games. I feel like he ends up in the War Games match. Like, that's one way to do it. Like, all right, you get him in the mix with some guys there. And then besides, they're big, like Boston, he has to wrestle. MSG, he has to wrestle. You assume Saturday Night's main event, the last night, he's going to wrestle.
Especially because it's on Peacock. It's not even on NBC.
So I'm just trying to think who else on this roster. Like, Dom's name's thrown out there a bunch. Like, that would be cool. But what else is there to do?
Let's just play that out, all right? Let's say it's Dom, or it's Bron Breakker, or... Hell, it's Obafemi or Ricky Saints or somebody from NXT that he puts over on his way out. Like, I think if it's somebody from NXT who we haven't seen before, I think it will, I guess, seen on the main roster, right? Like, if it's a Saints and Ethan Page and Obafemi, like, I think that could be, hey, this is a great springboard to these guys. But Dominic Mysterio doesn't need to beat John Cena. He's already really over. Same thing with Bron Breakker. He's already really over. Like, the win doesn't do anything for them. So unless it's a, hey, John Cena, I love the idea of, again, open challenge, gauntlet match, whatever. And if it's a John Cena, hey, whoever comes through that this is going to be my last match. And you get, again, some anticipation. Again, some people are going to think it's Edge. It's not. All right? It's not Edge. All right? It's not. Signed to a different company. They're not going to put him on loan to let this happen. All right? But if it is one of those guys from over in NXT that's over right now, and it's a way to introduce them to the larger WWE audience. Like, that to me is the only way you can save this at the end. Sure. Otherwise, just do a bunch of nostalgia matches on the way out and let's call it a day, because everything else, but this one decision to have him be squashed by Brock kind of kills everything else.
Completely agree. And that's why, like, the open challenge when it was US champ worked so well, because it was introducing the fans to guys that had made names for themselves on the indies, specifically then in NXT. Like, KO having that moment, Sammy having that moment, it's a big deal. Someone shared this with me. C Nation City shared it. It's like, hey, how about this is the final five? So AJ in Australia, Monday Night Raw in Boston, faces Dom for the IC title, wins the IC title. Then Raw and MSG drops it to Sheamus. So you have your throwback match there. Sheamus then becomes a Grand Slam champion. Survivor Series, he's in War Games. It's him, Roman, Punk, and the Usos versus Seth's group, Brock and Drew, which, like, that seems pretty logical right now.
Okay.
And then final match.
Well, other than, I mean, Brock, you're not getting Brock Lesnar in a War Games match, but
I is. And then this has final match, Saturday Night's main event, open challenge, and Gunther answers.
So I think you could do something with Gunther there. I think that could be fun. I think that would be, but again, like, Gunther doesn't necessarily need it.
No, but, like, and it sucks that we saw it Saturday, Gunther squashing him like Brock did. All of a sudden, Gunther, who is a monster and is booked that way, all of a sudden it's like, wow, this guy squashed Cena on the way out. But, like, we just saw it 2 months prior to that. So that'd be the only issue there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they do, but I think it's tough to save at this point to make it super memorable and something that everybody's going to look back at fondly. I think that's going to be really hard to do. At this point, we got a lot of other things, Brian, we need to dive into here on GKW. We call it the three count. And this week we've got a couple of interviews that we did because NXT No Mercy is coming up on Saturday down in your neck of the woods in Fort Lauderdale. So if you're down there, hey, buy tickets, Ticketmaster.com, or, you know, kick back and relax and watch it on Peacock on Saturday. But to kick things off, we had the opportunity yesterday to catch up with the number one contender for the men's championship, and that is Ricky Saints. Excited to bring in our next guest here, as he is going to be contending for the NXT championship.
on September 27th, part of No Mercy. He's the number one contender, Ricky Saints. I don't know what happened to my video, man.
I'm so excited. You're turned around.
And all of a sudden, we're turned around and we're sideways. Have no idea how this happened, but here we are. Ricky, thank you so much for the time, man.
Thank you for having me. I thought it was so funny that all of us went.
Man, you got us flipping upside down when we see you wrestle, right, man. You can tell right there.
You got excited. I like it. Yeah. No, there you go.
There we go. It's like NXT fans.
So, Ricky, you get the number one contender. You got the match coming up against Obafemi. But let's even go back. So you've been with NXT now, going back to February. What has been the best experience you've had since February until now?
There's too many to name. I've been North American champion. I'm about to contend for the NXT championship. I wrestled at Stand and Deliver this year. It's just been such a roller coaster of things because you turn around and something else is happening. So everything is moving at light speed. And I find it to be like one of the coolest things ever just because, you know, there's never a dull moment. Let me put it that way. There's never a dull moment, and I like that.
Ricky, let's go back to your debut in NXT because people wonder, it's like, when are we going to see Ricky? When are we going to see Ricky? And then you appear to the NXT crowd. What was that day like for you? And then you finally pop up on the scene.
I was so nervous. I really was, only because I didn't know what this reaction was going to be. And it's kind of like a thing with wrestlers where you've been gone for so long that you don't know how they're going to react, if they remember you and all that stuff. And I remember walking down those stairs and I was right before the microphone turned on. I was so like, ah, and then immediately I picked it up and started talking and it all faded away. And it was like riding a bike. I was back in the saddle. So that day in itself was nerve wracking. But then when it got to the time to go out there and then after, I was just like, oh my God, like, I'm so glad I'm not such a ball of like anxiety. I would relive it again, though.
You recently said you'll always gamble on yourself. What is that biggest gamble you've taken in your career?
I've had a lot, you know. I think going to another job, a new job, and ultimately having to prove your worth and kind of not start over, but like, you know, show people who you are who aren't familiar. That's a gamble in itself. That's you leave a place that people are familiar with you and you've been there for 5 years and you go somewhere else. That's always a gamble. That's like in any day job, you know, where you have to gamble for yourself, for your family in order to get something better that you want. And that's kind of what it's been for myself. And I've done this before in my career where I've left something that was good and like it was secure, money's coming in, but I have a need to fulfill that is something more in life, something more fulfilling for me, something that makes me feel good and go to sleep at night and say, okay, well, at least I didn't leave anything on the table. So when I talk about gambling like that, that's what I really mean, because that's just, dude, I used to quit jobs and didn't have a job lined up when I was younger, only because they wouldn't give me time off for wrestling on the weekend. So I was just like, well, this isn't working out. I just quit. And then I'm a big, like, I'll just figure it out. That's one thing about me. I will always just figure out if I'm going to the consequences of my actions. I'm always going to be okay with because I chose to make that decision. But on the other side of it is like, it can only get better. It can only work out for me because I'm in control of it.
NXT No Mercy, it's coming to Fort Lauderdale War Memorial this Sunday, September 27th. Either check it out on Peacock or get tickets over at Ticketmaster.com. So what's the biggest difference for you wrestling when you go on the road, like the War Memorial at Fort Lauderdale versus being inside the Performance Center for TV every week?
Well, I mean, the TV at the Performance Center every week, you know where it's at. You know the people that's going to be there. You know where catering is, where these locker rooms are. You know how big this is. You have your workout equipment, things of that nature. Traveling, I do like because I love how I'm big into different auditoriums, arenas. I like the different setups of it. I want to know the history of it, like what was here before this was built. So those two things, they're a contrast, but they both have their benefits. On top of that, getting there early in the day and finding out like different rooms, secret rooms at these rooms, and being able to chill out and hide out. That's, hey, I'll take that too. I love that.
Well, Saturday is the practice facility of the defending Stanley Cup champs, so maybe we need to get you out on the ice.
Please do, yes. And show me where the workout room is, too, because I'm trying to get a lift in.
Do you skate, Ricky? You ice skate?
It's been a while. It's been a while. It's been a while, but I'll throw some skates on for sure.
Okay, okay. I just the people I know that we know roller skate. They don't get on ice.
Yeah, so I do that too.
Just saying,
I've only been ice skating once, and I fell in. I was like 13 and messed my knee up bad. It was oh god, fluid buildup and everything.
Yeah, I mean,
you got a big day on Sunday, man. Let's not mess that up on Saturday by throwing some ice skates on your pal.
Yeah, the people like you and me, Ricky, they've been on ice, but they were running from the law. That's the only difference. So that's the only difference. We had Obafemi on, the champion, last week, and you know, we see him as a, you know, young rising superstar. He's the champion. But from your standpoint as a veteran, what's it like to be able to take on a lot of these young guns that are learning the business, learning their cadence, and also learning in the ring when you're already established? What is that like for you?
It's not that different, only because I guess, you know, I was in Oba's position before, and I never thought that I would be in this position, right? And so I guess I don't really see myself still to this day like that. But there's moments where I do catch myself. I go, wow, I'm actually the guy that I was trying to learn from like years ago. To watch these guys, to watch what they have, and you can see it. You can, like, it's so evident, right? And you can see it behind their eyes. It's really cool because it reminds me of myself when I was younger, and I still have the same thing. And I think people, you know, game recognized game. And I think being able to like identify that and be like, oh yeah, you got it. You know what it is. It's such a cool moment, especially from the amount of time that I've been in wrestling and seen so much stuff, that when I'm seeing it with someone like Oba or Javon or, you know, the Shiloh or anybody like that, I'm just like, nice. I can't wait. I can't wait to see this cultivated. Like, let's keep the pot simmering, because it's gonna be great.
Oba has that pressure now. You're a few days away from possibly, and we'll say definitely, becoming the NXT World Champion. What is that pressure like to hold that title?
I haven't asked Oba, but I can see the pressure has worn on him for sure. I can tell you, as a former North American champion, there's a pressure that I add to myself on top of the pressure that comes with being the flag bearer. I think with the NXT Championship, it is no different, if not more responsibility, because you are the QB. You are the leader of the pack, and people are looking to you to help guide them to the end zone. So, you know, I don't ever want to say, like, that's so much pressure, I can't do it, right? Because it sets a bad precedent. But I do think that having some pressure is good for me personally, because I have to rise to the occasion. I'm forced to rise to the occasion every time.
Who are some of the people that have helped mentor you to get you to the point now where you are wrestling for the NXT Championship on Saturday?
Oh man, there's so many. There's, I say so many, but there's not that many. there's a few people in my life that have really helped me. And I can, you know, you got the Bryan Danielsons, you got the CM Punks, Cody's, Sean Spears, people like that have really along the way helped guide me to this point that I'm getting to. And even then, some guys that are not as known, and, you know, God rest his soul, Jax Dane was another guy from NWA that really took me under his wing and helped me out. So I can't say that this was a lonesome journey, for sure. There are people who have helped, and as much as they could, right? As much as they have been able to help. So I do think that this Saturday, it is on me to not only make them proud, but to make myself proud and my family proud as well.
So Ricky, ultimately, it is about you and motivating yourself to get to the top spot. So what would Ricky Saints say to Ricky Starks about the journey the last 10 years?
Man, I think I would say everything will always work itself out. Every time, no matter how hard it even gets, and no matter how deep it is, the depths of it, right, of getting to rock bottom, it will always work itself out.
You talk about the guys that have helped you, obviously a close relationship with Cody Rhodes. How much do you brag about someone like that? Like, yeah, that's my buddy. That's QB1 on the main roster right now.
Not a lot, actually. You know, he's a really good dude. Great dude, has helped me out tremendously in wrestling, outside of wrestling, with my family. My family loves him. I love his family. He's just, to me, he's just Cody. I don't think of him anything as like, you know, WWE champion. Like, yeah, that's just my man right there. He's doing it. He's doing his damn thing, you know? So,
what's your favorite thing about pro wrestling?
I love the interaction. I love walking out and seeing a kid with their family, their father or mother, and that being the snapshot of a memory that they take forward, you know, as they get older. I love that type of gift that I'm able to give, of that type of, you know, that emotional connection. You go to a show and you're sitting next to someone that loves wrestling just as much as you, and y'all are sharing in that type of, like, community, that type of, you know, the type of celebration. Like, it is a, how can I say it? It's an underrated feeling to celebrate. And y'all have been to football games, basketball games. Y'all know what that feeling is. And it, like, it radiates throughout everyone. It's the same thing with wrestling. That's what I really love. That part of it.
Do you have a specific memory then of you being the kid in the stands?
Yeah.
Of somebody who, what is that memory for you?
For Christmas, I got tickets to SmackDown in New Orleans at the Smoothie King Arena. My first time ever going to a live wrestling show. And on that show, it was, I think, Austin versus Booker and Big Boss Man returned. And I was sitting by the stage, and that was the first time I felt Kane Pyro go up. And I remember being like, this is the coolest thing. The fist was so huge when I walked in there. The arena was so nice. It was the coolest thing I ever experienced. That was my very first show and very first wrestling experience.
Ricky, the memes are out from last night's NXT show.
Someone else just said this too. What is going on?
Okay, so it's you walking to the championship while everyone's fighting in the ring. And the caption is, when folks are fighting in the club, but my wings are ready. So even though we haven't been out, I have a feeling that you've avoided, like, the skirmish and this, like, I don't know what they're doing, but my order's ready. Is that not you?
Listen, I love seeing people get into fights and stuff like that, but I am a very good person of minding my business, all right? I will get to where I need to be. Excuse me, ma'am, I need to step over here. I know you guys are fighting right now, but I have to get to my destination. So, if you don't mind, like, hey, listen, if it don't involve me, I don't care. My name is Schmidt, you know? Like, that's all it is. I didn't know there's memes. Someone just started up.
Yes.
You don't get on social media. I said, no, guys. Once the show happens, I go home and I watch South Park. I'll watch anything else just to come down, but I will not get on social media. Now, I don't even know if I want to.
Yeah, that's good. I actually, going through your Twitter, I saw you got some heat on social because of your food choices, your ketchup on po' boys. What's your go-to New Orleans cuisine there?
Obviously, po' boys. I just had a po' boy when I went. I had a buddy of mine, Brett, was telling me how he goes, yeah, I knew people weren't going to like it when you said that. I said, I don't understand. It's fried shrimp, ketchup, hot sauce, and pickles. What is the problem there? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not a big mayonnaise guy. So a traditional po' boy comes with lettuce, tomatoes, mayonnaise, and then the shrimp. And then you can get hot sauce to it. It's too messy. I don't like mayonnaise. Lettuce and tomatoes are just, they're just water. I don't get it on there, and that's how I have my order.
All right.
You should
make sure
it,
you check it out. It's NXT No Mercy, Fort Lauderdale War Memorial, September 27th. Either check it out on Peacock. Get your tickets at Ticketmaster. Ricky, we really appreciate the time, man. Thank you for jumping on. Best of luck against Obafemi this weekend.
Thank you guys. This was great. I really enjoyed it.
always fun catching up with different wrestlers, with this one being Ricky Saints. And again, I was really curious, him making the transition from AEW, and I know Hood asked the question a little bit in there, of him making that transition from AEW to NXT. And to me, he has to get called up sooner rather than later, right? Like, yeah. Again, because Ricky's, he is more of a veteran at this point. He's not like this young upstarter, you know, he's closer to 40. So I hope he makes that debut soon. And again, I put him on the short list of guys that it could be worth it to put him up against Cena in that final match. If again, the reports are true and Cena wants to put people over on the way out.
Yeah, and that's it. Like, that main event specifically Saturday, it's Obafemi defending against Ricky Saints, which last week we had Obafemi on. Check out that conversation on YouTube. Either of those guys getting that moment with Cena, all of a sudden you've made a star. And Oba's been down in NXT, and the stuff I've seen from him, like, he is ready. He's a guy that is going to be a star on the main roster. Either of those guys getting called up and getting action in the ring with John Cena, all of a sudden it's like, oh, we need to look at them a little bit differently.
Yeah. So, again, excited to see what he does against Obafemi coming up on Saturday, and you can check that out as well. Meanwhile, what do we got at number two this week in the three count?
So the men's title will be Obafemi against Ricky Saints. On the women's side, JC Jane defends against Lola Vice. Jay Hood and I had the opportunity to catch up with Lola Vice. It's going to be a homecoming. She's a South Florida native, and she has the opportunity to win the NXT women's title this Saturday. This is our conversation with Lola Vice.
It's Good Karma Wrestling, along with Brian Rowitz from ESPN West Palm. I'm Jonathan Hood from ESPN Chicago. It is GKW 200 episodes of Good Karma Wrestling. And to celebrate with us will be Lola Vice from NXT. Lola Vice will take on JC Jane for the NXT Women's Championship at No Mercy on September 27th. You can watch it on Peacock from the War Memorial in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Lola, as always, we appreciate the time. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hola. Thank you for having me.
Hey, first and foremost, before we talk about No Mercy and this title matchup, NXT Homecoming on the CW, there was faces from the past and the present and the future. Tell us about the after party. You were there. Tell us about it. What happened?
No, it was awesome and so motivating because, you know, all of them went through NXT and they're massive stars right now on Raw and SmackDown. It's just one day I aspired to be like them.
You know, you talk about that history. You're competing for that title in a week and a half. What does it mean to compete for that title that so many stars have held going back to when NXT started?
Yeah, it's honestly, I think, the most important moment of my career. This is my third time challenging for the title, but I believe now more than ever I'm ready. And I think now more than ever it's my time. And it's happening in Fort Lauderdale, basically my backyard, so close to Vice City. So I'm just going to try to bring that title home.
So, Lola, tell us about your journey getting to NXT, being part of this particular event here for No Mercy. When was the first time someone told you, you know what, you're really good at this?
In WWE, in wrestling?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Who told you the first time you got into a ring and someone said, you know what, you're really good at this?
You know, it's more of like myself. I remember the first time I ever trained in a ring and I learned certain things, I picked it up very fast. And I knew deep down, like, I was born for this. But I think probably the first person that told me was my head coach, Bloom. He always believed in me and he was very hard on me. But I know it's just because he cared and he saw potential in me. And that told me everything I needed to know.
You know Matt Bloom very well. You know, the guy was a tremendous in Japan, in WWE. So Matt Bloom's a great trainer.
Yeah, he's like my wrestling dad. I love him, but he's awesome.
You mentioned No Mercy here at the War Memorial, right? You know, South Florida. I'm a South Florida guy also. What is that Lola Vice cheering section going to be like next week, so being so close to Miami?
Well, you know, of course, I'm going to have my crazy Cuban family. So they're going to be there. And, you know, hopefully people that support me and have watched me from MMA to the WWE. Actually, my last MMA fight was in Fort Lauderdale, so it's just so full circle that I'm challenging for the title now, basically in my backyard. But no, I hope the section's lit and the crowd has that Latina heat in them, but it'll be a good time. And I'm really hoping that I'm able to bring that title home.
No Mercy taking place on September 27th at the War Memorial in Fort Lauderdale, as Lola Vice will take on JC Jane for the NXT women's championship. You understand, Lola, like you're the best thing that's happened to South Florida. It's not the Florida Marlins. It's not the Marlins. I mean, the Florida, you know, the Panthers win the championship, winning the cup is good. Dolphins are bad. So you realize that you have the whole state. You have the whole area on your shoulders. Like, you're the best.
You're our only hope right now.
No, that's so sweet of you to say. You know, it's funny because I've always felt very strongly about representing where I'm from. And there aren't that many, like, big stars that come from Miami, like, that were born and raised here. And I've always been like, why can't I be one of them? So hopefully I'm representing Miami well, and hopefully I bring that title home. I would be the first Cuban woman to ever win a championship in the WWE. So I love being the first of everything. So hopefully this is my time.
Now, Brian, you know it's Lola Vice because, let's be honest, the Florida Panthers is like Sunrise, Florida, not really Miami. So Lola is like the champion. She's like the best thing out of the area.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot to me. I hope I'm doing a good job.
How important is it for you to wear that heritage on your sleeve? You talk about being the first Cuban-born American to even sign with the WWE from the women's side. How important is that to you?
Yeah, I mean, I wake up every morning and that's what drives me. It's my passion. I feel like I was born to represent my culture and to break stereotypes like I've always done my whole life. I've always, you know, had people tell me I can't make it because I look like this, or, you know, you can't do MMA because you're too feminine and things like that. So I've always felt very strongly about representing where I'm from, but also breaking stereotypes.
What's harder for you? Was it MMA or wrestling as far as getting prepared to battle?
Wrestling. There's nothing like wrestling, because you have to think in MMA, like, you have one fight, let's say, every 3 months, every 4 months, but, you know, you wrestle every week. You have to win every week, and it's a lot harder on your body than people could understand. In MMA, you have downtime. In wrestling, you don't. It's 24/7, and there's no off seasons, so this is definitely way harder, but I love it.
On the MMA side, you trained at American Top Team. That's some of the best, especially on the women's side. Mm-hmm. How does that prepare you to get to where you are today?
Yeah, well, it basically allowed me to train with like women, every different type of style, size, you know, weight classes, et cetera. But it also gave me the experience and the background that really benefits me now in the WWE, because I feel like a lot of women don't have my style, and that's my advantage. So, like, when I'm wrestling someone a lot bigger than me, you know, I use more of my submission base and I use my leg kicks to chop them down. But when I'm wrestling the gymnast, I also bring my fight background and I'm more of a striker, and, you know, they're so athletic. But yeah, American Top Team training with all those amazing, incredible women really prepared me for the WWE in a way that I didn't understand then.
Lola, not only NXT champion, but also a former Knockouts champion, JC Jane. She had two championships at the same time. What do you think of her as a talent and how she's been able to be at the top of the division?
Yeah. So JC Jane is one of the toughest champions I've seen. She defeated Stephanie McCurr for the title. JC's been in NXT for a while. You know, she was part of Toxic Attraction. She has a lot of history on the show, and she's one of the best women strikers I've seen in NXT wrestle that didn't come from that background. I think she's incredible. She's tough, you know, and she has Jasmine and she has Fallon to her advantage, right? So I think next week it's more of the numbers game. If I'm able to overcome all of them, because they always get involved somehow, I think if I could overcome that, I'll leave with the title.
What's been the most surreal moment for you so far in a wrestling ring? I mean, you're a couple months removed from being in the ring with Nikki Bella. You talked about homecoming last night. What's been that moment where you sort of have to pinch yourself like, oh, this is my life?
Yeah, you know, I'm so grateful to have had these moments. My first one was the one with Natalya in the Underground that we did the first female Underground match. That was the first one that I was like, wow, I'm getting trusted with a match style like this. And against Natalya, legends, that was the first one. And then, you know, the first Worlds Collide with Stephanie in the ring. And it was basically like her last NXT match. That was another one. Nikki Bella was like, I was in the ring and I couldn't believe it was happening. And then more so now that I've been working AAA, I think doing these shows with AAA and NXT at the same time have really like shown me, while you're doing this and you could do it, you know?
Lola, we've had Shawn Michaels on Good Karma Wrestling, and he says that NXT is the best 2 hours of wrestling on the planet. He also feels like you guys have the best fans. So would you agree with him that NXT is the best in the company?
Yes, I believe so. I think, you know, the upcoming talent we have at NXT are hungry and we're very hardworking, and especially the women, like the classes that we've had have just been killing it. And I think we've shown that, you know, we didn't come from an indie or like wrestling background, but we want to be good in this. And I think like showing the desire to want to learn and succeed is really coming off on NXT. And that's why we're known for our women's division.
Your whole family, everyone is a black belt in that family. What's dinner like when that last piece of pizza is on the table? What, how does that discussion go?
Flying sidekicks. Our fights were not normal. Like, we're still not normal. My family is definitely crazy. I don't know if you guys saw the vignette that they did of me with my father in it.
Yes.
He stole the show.
Yes, he did.
Oh my God, as we were filming, I had to tell him, Papa, calm down a little bit. But he's so passionate, so excited. That's where I get it from. And it's a big deal for them to see me in this position. And all their sacrifices paid off. So I'm just grateful that I could represent our family.
All right, Lola, all the best of luck at No Mercy September 27th at the War Memorial in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. As Lola takes on JC Jane, you can watch that on Peacock on September 27th. As always, we appreciate the time.
Again, great catching up with, and again, with all these different NXT talents, and shout out and thank you to the WWE for making them available to us. It should be a fun card. Again, you've got... again, we just mentioned Lola Vice for the Women's Championship. The Speed Championship, which is still around, is on the line. NXT Championship, North American Championship, a steel cage match with Blake Monroe and Jordan Grace, a part of that card as well, which I think should be an awful lot of fun. So, again, a great card to check out on Saturday if your college football team is bad, like they are up here in Wisconsin.
Sorry.
Things got dicey up here. We got our former athletic director lashing out at the fan base. Yeah, it's not great up here. All right, let's move on. What do we got at number three this week?
All right, AEW. Next time we'll see them on pay-per-view Saturday, October 18th in St. Louis. Wrestle Dream 6th anniversary show coming up this upcoming week. But what should main event Wrestle Dream in St. Louis?
Okay, I mean, it's coming up pretty quick. And they did announce a match last night. You have Darby versus Mox in an I Quit match, which should be fun. Did not see Darby showing up with a flamethrower yesterday, but why the hell not, I guess.
Imagine Legal is okay with that. As he's walking down the aisle and the fans are right there, I was like, this is risky.
Well, Mox took the step forward and then he like let the flame out. I'm like, how confident is he in to be able to keep that flame at an appropriate distance so Mox doesn't burn? Right.
He set him on fire Saturday, so it'd be the second time this week. So, you know.
Yeah. The old fake like you're dead in the body bag for 2 hours trick and then come out and, you know, and wreak some havoc, which again was a lot of fun. I'm not sure because, yeah, we had Ethan Page. We had Hangman Page put up the championship last night. They didn't really. Last night, other than what we saw around the Death Riders. So I'm assuming Marina Shafir is going to be a challenger for the champion, the women's championship for Statlander. So I think that's about the only thing we advanced. We advanced this. But in terms of the AEW World Championship, I don't know who Hangman's next challenger is going to be. And I know they like putting that as the main event on the women's side. You know, okay, we've got potential there. I don't think they're going to put Marina Shafir in the main event. So I can't say that that's going to be there. They didn't really do a ton of storytelling and advancement of, oh, here's where they're going with this championship, or here's where they're going with this rivalry outside of what's happening with the Death Riders. Even the TNT champ, like it was a good promo last night by our guy. But I'm not quite sure what the direction is. Who the challenger is going to be for the TNT Championship?
That's the weird part where usually you can say like, "Oh, this is where we're going now." And November 22nd, Full Gear, December 27th, World's End. That's the rest of the calendar. The world title picture right now just seems like we're waiting for MJF to beat Hangman for the title. but you need stops in between that. So like Hangman versus Fletcher was a great match. We knew it was going to be a great match, but you knew Hangman was going to win. Is the main event going to be Hangman versus like Claudio or Yuta, where you know Hangman's going to win?
Like, what I mean, it's going to be versus somebody that we know Hangman is going to win. It's just, okay, can we make it interesting to get there? And the reason why I'm usually okay, and AEW typically does this in terms of the show after doesn't live up to what the pay-per-view was, which again is tough because they usually give you 4 to 5 hours of really good wrestling and they don't give us that direction. And you mentioned the other two pay-per-views. Like after WrestleDream, they have like 6 weeks, almost 2 months between between that and Full Gear. It's closer to 3 weeks here. Right. Yeah. So I would think that in order to put that card together, you'd have wanted to, you know, hit the accelerator a little bit more last night in terms of kind of putting out there what we can expect to see in St. Louis.
Well, that's why before the main event thing happened last night, where Stat sort of teases joining the Death Riders and she doesn't. My original thought was, you know, they're making a concentrated effort of like, hey, our world titles are equal. Men and women, it's equal. Yet we've never had a women's world title in the main event. Stat winning on Saturday was a shocker. We're like, whoa, Toni Storm actually got pinned in this four-way. It wasn't, you know, clunky or anything like that. Stat versus Toni would have made sense for a main event. Yeah. Toni saying, hey, you beat me with a four-way. Like, let me get my title back. Stat wins again. That makes her even much more of a star. That would be a perfect opportunity to make those two the main event. You've been telling that story already, but now they're going this Death Rider angle where it's like, what is going to be the main event? And it's, like you said, only a few weeks away.
But at the same time, like, I don't mind them going that direction because they have kind of, I mean, I guess you could have done this after because it is such a tight time frame.
Right.
But you have to close the Death Rider loop at some point because the Death Riders have been hanging around Stat even before she won the championship. Right. So that loop has to be closed. And I don't know how much longer, like if you'd have done this for another month, would it have had the same impact as it did last night with Stat completely cleaning the clock of Wheeler Yuta on national television with a pretty good lariat.
What if that was the end of WrestleDream? So after last night, it's three Wednesdays. So we have three Dynamites where maybe you still are planting those seeds and you have the whole Toni and Stat story still going. And the night ends, Stat beats Toni again. It's the end of the pay-per-view. And the exact same thing like we saw last night. The hug, the lariat, and everything. Maybe no flamethrower this time. But everything else besides that, like that's a way to end a pay-per-view.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be tougher because I think Mox is losing the I Quit.
Yeah, I think so.
So,
yeah, I guess
again, if Mox
right
is
there,
losing the I Quit, it you know, in order to beat Mox in an I Quit, I don't think Mox is going to be conditioned to walk out at the end to try to convince someone to join the group.
Touche. Could that be the main event?
I think it could be. It because, again, there has been a lot already invested into that, and it's an I Quit match. You know, like it is going to be long. It's going to be gory. It's going to be tough. I think it could be because, again, they didn't really have. Again, I had fun watching Lee Moriarty take on, you know, Hangman Page, but they didn't really give us a direction for Hangman of, hey, here's who's going to be challenging or here's the next thorn in the side. So I don't even know who's on that list right now in terms of heels that could be going head to head with him.
I even wonder now that we're talking through this, like maybe the world title's not defended. Like maybe Hangman's in a tag match. It's Hangman and someone versus the Death Riders. Then you justify putting Mox and Darby in the main event because you're not booking it over the world title in that situation.
Yeah. And I think that's certainly a possibility where it's not defended. And I'd be okay with that at this point. You know, if you can get a compelling story with those tag titles, presumably they're going to have put something together for the women's tag titles that were announced last night. You know, where, you know, probably maybe I have no idea.
They didn't give many details on that. It's like, hey, no new belts.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. And?
Was I the only one hoping that, like, Britt Baker came out with, like, a tag partner in Pittsburgh? Maybe that was just me.
I think she still works there.
I think she does. Who can say for sure? I see posts online, everyone, like, once a month, I feel, at this point from her. And I think she's still there. Who knows if she's still there? There's not a lot of answers. Maybe we get some more with Collision and they start the build there. But I mean, I can't imagine that Cope comes back in time for that.
No. I mean, yeah, now that we talk through it, I do think maybe it's Mox, Darby, and then Hangman, Joe, and Hobbs versus Death Riders. I know we've done a lot of that already, but.
Yeah, because Shibata, I mean, I guess it depends upon what the injury for Shibata right. is. You know, if, you know, if he's unable to wrestle.
Because now you got Pac back. No hair, and he's wearing a t-shirt. It's a different man, but he's back.
Yeah, he's wearing clothes.
Yeah.
Like, that was more jarring than the haircut, right? The fact that he came out in a t-shirt, that was more jarring than the fact that he had cut the hair.
Literally, I had, like, I was in the kitchen. It was out in the living room. I was like, who is that? Like, I literally had to walk closer to the TV. I know. I was like, oh, okay. I was like, that makes sense.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That was, he's finally healthy enough to rejoin the crew. All right. Welcome back. Good. But again, the show itself was fun. I don't think there were a ton of, I mean, the two surprises, though, were Jungle Boy returning with Luchasaurus and then Stack going over.
Yeah.
Which I feel like it was a missed opportunity not to have, I don't know what the plans are for the Jungle Express, but they should have kicked off the show last night.
That's fair. Yeah, like the fact that they weren't there is odd, but they're teased for
and they're saving it for next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a boy and his dinosaur.
I'm looking forward to seeing them next week down here, though. So that'll be fun.
Oh, yeah, that will be fun for you.
Yes,
yeah,
6-year anniversary at the Hard Rock Casino.
I'm a little jealous about that.
Uh-huh.
That should be a fun show. And again, I think they got to kick it off. I mean, the heel Jack Perry is not good, right?
Nah, that didn't work. They tried.
Yeah, which, again, put him with... He can still be world champion just with Luchasaurus by his side. Like, you could keep these two together for the next 3 or 4 years, and I think everybody's going to be happy.
And even that moment, like, I do wonder, like, did they always plan on hitting the music Saturday? Like, the fans started it, they're doing the moment, or was that like, oh, they really want this? Like, hurry, pull this up. Like, I'm curious what that behind the scenes was like.
I think they always had, like, the song and entrance is so over, they had to have planned on playing it, right? Like, that's just makes sense to me.
It was perfectly done. The fact that they waited, we got the hug, the fans started it. Like, that was a fun moment on Saturday.
I also enjoyed, like, the vignette, the video that they played of him, like, reviving Luchasaurus. Like, I thought that was, like, a nice little touch to everything. And then that little shit-eating grin that he has, like, it just, for the first time, it felt like it worked when he gave it to the Young Bucks. Like, for the first time, it felt like it worked to me.
No, that was very well done. One of the highlights of Saturday, which, like you said, not an A-plus show, but it's AEW, so still an outstanding show.
Yeah, because, again, I think we were expecting surprises. And we talked about it last week. We just didn't know what surprises necessarily existed on either side. WWE didn't really give us any, I guess, unless you want to call Brock squashing a surprise. But
Stephanie's in the Hall of Fame in 7-8 months.
Yeah, which, again, like, I didn't have a problem with, and it was a little awkward. Like, it's like, oh, okay, they're just trying to surprise her. I get it. Okay, that makes sense.
But it's September. Like, why are we announcing this now?
Because they literally didn't have any other surprises.
Okay, good. Got it.
And literally no other. I mean, Triple H was all over ESPN TV saying, hey, expect surprises. And they really didn't have anything else that they had. Oops. What do we got this week in news and notes?
All right, as announced this week, and, you know, wrestling fans took it and said, oh, yeah, that's right. The PWI 500 officially released this week. Their criteria, win-loss record, championships won, quality of competition, major feuds, prominence within promotion, overall wrestling ability. It covers August 1st of 24 through July 31st of 25. Number one on the list, QB1, Cody Rhodes. Mox at number two, Gunther at three, Hangman Page at four, Hiroki Gato at five, Jey Uso 6, Swerve 7, Seth Rollins 8, Mystico 9, and Ospreay comes in at number 10.
It all makes sense to me, and I saw some people were like, whoa, no Roman Reigns? Apparently Roman did not wrestle enough matches to qualify for the list, so Roman is nowhere to be found. Tough look for the OTC. But I guess it makes sense. Like, I just don't know who else you could make number one.
I've been
underwhelmed at times with Cody, but at the same time, I can't say that, you know, Mox being two makes a lot of sense to me, but also I don't think Mox has had a good enough year where I can go, oh yeah, he should definitely be number one over Cody. Like, I don't feel like I can say that. Everybody else kind of slots in. I feel in pretty appropriate spots. So I guess this is just a roundabout way of me saying that I don't know if anybody had like a fully dominant year where it's just, oh yeah, number one without a doubt is this guy.
The only one that like I can make, like, should Punk have been top 10?
Yeah. Where did Punk end up? Do we know?
I mean, 11 you know, or 12, I yeah, believe.
Right outside there.
Yeah. So like that's the one, I don't know.
So it's through August 1st or through July?
August 1st of 24 through July 31st of this year.
Yeah. So you don't have him winning the championship in there and the Seth Rollins cash in the subsequent stuff. I got to imagine as long as he stays healthy, he'll be top 10 next year because he's probably off to the best start.
Yeah. Punk was 15, by the way. 11 was Okada. 12, Joe Hendry. Zack Sabre Jr., 13. Saw a lot of people on social media upset about that because if you're using the criteria of winning stuff and prominence, he had a pretty strong year in New Japan, winning the G1, winning the world title. But like, and then, I mean, I think anytime you say overall wrestling ability and then Ospreay being 10 and Jey Uso being ahead of him, I'm going to take offense to that.
I know you're going to take offense, but at least Jey Uso won prominent feuds.
Correct.
Like,
yes.
Again, maybe you didn't enjoy the way he did it in the ring, but he did win. That was also in there, like prominent feuds and winning them, and win loss record mattering. Your boy Ospreay did not come out on top in a lot of the a lot of the marquee matchups.
He didn't like the whole winning thing or winning championships, but wrestling ability should push him up. That it comes down to that. And then it's crazy just looking at like some of the young names on here was like, oh, there's a future. Like Obafemi is 14, Takeshita is 17. Jacob Fatu is 20, Bron Breakker 24, Kyle Fletcher 33. Like, there's some young studs there. It's like, all right, I'm feeling good about the future of wrestling. Hopefully, it follows.
Again, I guess if you go back, if it's ending in July, I can understand Fletcher being that low. Seems a little low for Fletcher, but again, he's basically a co-host of GKW at this point, so maybe I'm biased. It's very possible that I'm biased towards our boy.
But 33, that's room to grow. He's definitely top 20 next year.
The day he has this potential to be number one on that list, we got to have him on the show.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like we have to celebrate with him.
I agree. Like, I was ready for him to be the world champion, all that sort of stuff, but it's fun to debate this stuff. Chris Jericho, 54. I don't know if I agree with that one. Shout out all the indie wrestlers that also get their shine on this list. So,
well, what about Cardona?
Oh, good question. Cardona, 75.
Jericho was ahead of Cardona?
Yeah, by a lot.
Got some questions about that. But I digress. Again, it's a list of 500. Yes. There's going to be some hits and misses. I get it. All right? I don't want to be too critical. I don't, because again, it's a fun exercise, and I love the way they put together that list. It obviously takes a ton of work each and every year.
Yes. Elsewhere, news and notes was announced last night. Tony Khan, for the first time, AEW will have women's tag team titles. No details revealed just yet about how or when we will crown those champions.
All right, we got to start implementing a rule. Like, I have tried to in my own personal life, and I haven't always been good at it, so I'll be upfront. I have a lot of hats, Brian, and it's kind of gotten to the point where my wife has also kind of, you know, hinted at, hey, if you're buying a new hat, you got to get rid of a hat.
Okay, yeah.
And I feel like we're at this point of titles in AEW. Hey, if we're introducing more championships, maybe we got to lose some. All right? Like, maybe we just got to we got to ditch some by the wayside at some point.
Yeah, that's a good call. They can definitely lose some. I'm excited to see this. I mean, the women's division has been so strong. I saw Athena tweeting last night at Billy Stark saying, oh, I actually want these. Let's go get them. Like, maybe an opportunity to get Athena on our television. For some reason, she still isn't. So it could be fun to see who eventually gets them.
Yeah, and look, we've talked about the depth of the women's division before. Like, the AEW women's division is so incredibly deep. It makes sense, but again, there are times even in WWE where they're like, oh, okay, like, where are these again? Who has them? You know, it just kind of gets lost. It's easy. The more championships you have, the less special they become because it's easier to lose them in the shuffle.
Yep, that's how it goes. Deadline first to report a new Macho Man Randy Savage biopic is in the works, being produced by Kenan Thompson, the script originally written by Savage's brother, Lanny Poffo.
It's very interesting. Are they going to have, like, I'm really curious to see who they cast as Macho Man. Like, that's the really intriguing thing to me. I don't know if you've ever heard the comedian Dan Soder. I mean, there's no way he can play him. Right. He does a great impression.
He does.
The voice is very impeccable. But Dan, as funny as he is, does not have the physique to play the Macho Man.
Well, that's the thing. Like, that is the interesting part, because coming off the Von Erich movie, which I'm blanking on the name of it, but they
Iron
did so Iron Claw. There you go. Like, everyone who played the Von Erichs was great, but then he had the Ric Flair moment also, who was not a great Ric Flair.
Woo.
Right. So it's very important to make sure you nail this one.
Woo.
Maybe that guy plays Hogan in the Savage movie. Like, give him another shot.
Oh, it was so good. Like, everybody else, like you said, was so good. Like,
yes.
And I walked away from that movie going, you put all this time to put a movie against, like, you've never seen Ric Flair?
Right.
You hired the one actor who was unfamiliar with Ric Flair?
I want that guy to play Hogan in the Savage movie. Give him another shot. Maybe you can nail that one. Brother. Finally, news and notes. Andrade's first post-WWE appearance has been announced. Saturday, November 15th, he will be appearing for House of Glory for their Long Island debut.
Good. Go on the indies. I think that's where he should be right now. You got lost in the shuffle in both major companies right now. I think he's, again, you give him the opportunity to shine in the ring, and he is going to do that for you. Maybe a run on the indies, and he'll probably be back on our television in no time.
I'm curious about that part. I do wonder if he's burned bridges in both companies.
It seemed like he left in AEW on good terms.
Okay.
And maybe I'm misremembering that, but it just kind of seemed like, oh yeah, he wants to be over by his wife, and obviously the marriage didn't work out. But at the time, you know, oh, okay, he wants to be over by his wife, and that made a ton of sense, I think, to everybody, because people have left AEW on good terms, right? Like, it's usually not just bridges being burned. I think everybody understands there's two companies now, and there's, for example, like Jericho. Like, I thought Jericho probably didn't leave on great terms,
right?
Come over, because for the longest time it was, oh, I'm never going to wrestle in North America for anyone but Vince. But seems like he's going to be going back there. And I'm guessing if he does end up back in WWE for like the Rumble, my guess is AEW is not going to have any hard feelings.
Right. So, but yeah, I'm going to put on great matches on the indies. So look forward to seeing that.
What did you have for your matches of the week?
We talked about a little, like, Fletcher and Hangman. Love that main event. Like, even knowing, like, all right, Hangman's winning this match, like, just a great back and forth. The other one I really enjoyed from All Out, the triple threat match. Okada, Takeshita, Dorado. Like, they were doing some stuff. Like, how are they so strong? Like, just a fun triple threat match. And obviously, it's leading to Okada versus Takeshita, which, talk about main events, that could be a main event of any show anywhere.
And maybe that ends up being a main event, because especially if they want to up again, I have no idea what they're doing with that championship. It's been so unclear what they're doing with that unified title.
And then, like, tournaments should start soonish. Doesn't that usually go at the end of the year?
Yeah. It usually starts like after, it'll be sometime after,
Full Gear?
Before World's End, after Full Gear.
Right.
Like, so they kind of do it in between there, and then Full Gear is kind of that, like, where the finals happen.
Couple months, so that title will be a part of that, but you'll have the champion, but yeah.
Because it seemed like they wanted to kind of elevate that to be the secondary, like...
Right.
A second primary title. Like, WWE has the WWE Championship and the World Heavyweight Championship, and they're on equal footing. It kind of seemed like that's what they wanted to do with this thing, and... Just is unclear.
The other match I have, talk about titles maybe getting some more prominence, the tag team match to open Dynamite last night. Brodito defending against Gates of Agony. Like, I want Brodito on my television every week, but that was just a fun banger of a match to open the night last night.
Yeah, I will throw Vakir. And again, even though I'm still trying to understand the appeal of Vakir outside of the ring, the appeal in the ring is very evident.
Yep. She's good.
So. Yeah, so her and Io Sky was fantastic. So I very much enjoyed that match. I also enjoyed, and maybe it was just because of the shocking end of it, but I enjoyed Briscoe and MJF. The tables and tacks match I thought was really good.
The picture post-match of Bryce Rensburg, the bottom of his shoes was very entertaining, just completely covered in tacks.
Yeah, well, yeah, they've got like the sleeves and the gloves on so he can do the count. The whole thing was, again, it was ridiculous and fun. It was, that's what pro wrestling's supposed to be. Like, MJF, again, wrestling in the white shirt just to kind of further, hey, You see the blood on the shirt. That's how, you know, extreme this match can be. Just again, some little touches that I really enjoyed.
Exactly.
With that. Quickly, last thing, I guess, on All Out. What did you think about Hook saving your boy Eddie Kingston?
Didn't love the match. I feel like it could be a fun team. They had an awesome promo on social after, which a lot of AEW promos end up that don't see TV. I think the hardest thing for Hook is going to be not cracking listening to Eddie Kingston. Because there are a couple times that he's got the serious accent. Like, oh,
fair.
So if you watch that back, I'm curious to see what results in that. I'm sure Eddie is not happy with the ending, but it's great to have Eddie Kingston back in our lives.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. I mean, again, yeah. Well, because again, when was it Giovanni's like, oh, that didn't really connect. And then he pinned him. Like, oops.
Uh-oh. Like, all right.
Just move on.
Fine.
If you happen to miss any of the interviews we did earlier today in the show, Lola Vice, Ricky Saints, getting ready for NXT, check out all of our interviews. We had a bunch last week as well as part of our 200th episode. Check it out on our YouTube page. Comment, subscribe, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. Okay, we're starting to build toward Wrestle Dream. Who knows what happens with John Cena? We've got Crown Jewel coming up down in Australia. A lot of things to dive into, and we'll dive into them all next week here on GKW.